You have heard this a number of times, but I want to say it. And it says Happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day. And we have people who are natural, you know, fathers, and then we have people who have acted in someone's life as a father. We have a lot of those. So that's good, because you need fathers. You need fathers. Now, the title of my sermon is Living a Life of Sacrifice and Dedication. And assuming if I ask, I have to raise any hands, but do you believe you are living a life of sacrifice? Are you? Okay. Do you believe and feel in your heart that you have truly dedicated yourself to God? That you have, as the song said, surrendered all. But the other thing I would like to say, I can't miss this, and that is that last song that Vania sang. Ooh, praise God. That was beautiful, 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 beautiful. But we've been blessed. God has enabled us to be here. He has enabled us to this beautiful weather he has given us, you know. But we have some, you know, when it's warm, it's too warm. Cold is too cold. In other words, we just complain. But think about this on a daily basis. Do you walk with the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit helps us. It guides us, directs us, teaches us, help us to not do certain things that we would do if we didn't have the Holy Spirit right there saying, you know, over and over the voice saying, don't do it, it's wrong, you know. Because if we were on our own, a lot of things we might do that we should not do. In listening to the radio, the news, and when it comes to religion, people are on different pages, but not on the same page. And one believes this, another person believes the other, you know. And the question that I've heard lately has been, is it wrong to forgive that fellow who killed all those people in South Carolina? And they have been on both sides. Some have said it's wrong to forgive, shouldn't forgive him. Some have said it is too soon to forgive him. And then there are some that says you really shouldn't forgive him at all. And then a person comes and says, wait a minute. Now, God's word says that we are to forgive, and if we do not forgive, he will not forgive us. So you have to keep that in mind. But then you have the other person that, really, other person who doesn't believe that. But we all know that we have to forgive if we are to be forgiven. I mean, that's what God's word says. It says that, you know. But for some people, it can be quicker than at other times. But with some folks, it may be, it could be instant, you know. Because as the experts say, when you forgive, the forgiveness is what helps you. It helps you. know, but I don't know if people really fully realize that. It's to help them. Because if you hold malice towards someone, and it is going to tear you up. Now, the other person going on about their business, but you are the one that's going to have the problem, you know. Yep. And I want to talk a little bit about Paul. Now, I don't know who loves Paul as much as my husband. He loves Paul. He said that's Dr. Paul. And he was a great apostle. Now, in 2 Corinthians 6, 1 through 13. So I'm going to read this. First verse, as God's fellow workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For he says, in the time of my favor, I heard you. And in the day of salvation, I helped you. I tell you now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. Which is absolutely true. This is our opportunity for salvation. And we have work to do. There are things we have to do. And if you don't take advantage of this time that God has given you, we all know this is it. It's not like, well, maybe we'll do it later, you know, or something. This day, this time is the opportunity that God has given us for salvation. And it's hard to believe that there's anyone sitting in this congregation who wouldn't want life, who would want eternal life, who would not want to be in God's kingdom. Paul says, in scripture it says, verse 3, put no stumbling block in anyone's path so that our ministry would not be discredited. Rather, as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, in great endurance, in troubles, hardships, and distresses. And one of the things that was concerning Paul, he found that the people in the Corinthian church, that they didn't really believe him. They really did not think Paul was maybe like a true servant of Jesus Christ. And Paul wanted to convince them that he loved them. Not only did he loved them as his own children. So you know how you feel about your own children and the love you have for them. And the more he just, you know, you just refute things that they're saying and all. But one of the things about Paul, and maybe I just should finish reading the whole scripture and then we talk about that. Verse 4, put no stumbling block in anyone's path so that our ministry would not be discredited. So that was a big concern of him. He's doing God's work and he doesn't want anything to besmirch what he's saying, you know. In beatings, imprisonments, and riots, in hard work, sleepless nights, and hunger. And what he is saying here, as a minister of Jesus Christ, and all of the things that you may have to endure, really endure, because you know, if you know the history about Paul, how he endured a lot of things, you know, robberies and beatings, and they would, you know, if you had somebody who was ready to, you know, that they were going to take your life. And this is what happened to Paul a number of times. And he had God's people there to help him. And what did they do at one point? Put him in a basket and let him down over the wall. So he had people helping him, and of course, with all of us, God is looking out for us. He is looking out for us. And that is what happened in Paul's case. And it says here, I'm going to verse, let's do 7. In truthful speech and in the power of God, with weapons of righteousness in the right hand and in the left, through glory and dishonor, bad report, good report, genuine yet regarded as unknown, dying and yet we live on, beaten and yet not killed. So it's so much that a minister, and not all individuals can go through this, but ministers go through, and this is a good example of what Paul went through as the minister of God. At verse 10, sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, poor, yet making many rich, having nothing and yet possessing everything. And what this reminds me of, this part, is that we have, God has, the way I look at it, has given us everything. We do. And we just have to learn to appreciate it, because he has. You don't have to be sitting here today. You could be in a hospital bed. You could be at home in your bed. You could be in a position where you cannot do anything for yourself. But God has blessed you, and you are here. He helps you. He answers prayers. And I know that there are a number of people, even right here, that prayers have been offered up for, and that God has really heard those prayers, and that God has healed a number of people. And I wouldn't ask for hands, but I think we could have a number of hands go up where it say, God healed me. He made it possible for me to do whatever it is, to be here, to be walking. You know, if you take time and think, look, I'm up and I'm walking, because there's so many people can't do that. You know, so you have to look at that. And verse 11, we have spoken freely to you, Corinthians, and opened wide our hearts to you. We're not withholding our affection from you, but you are withholding yours from us. As a fair exchange, I speak as to my children, open wide your hearts. So Paul, being the apostle, and the Corinthian church, you know, you have these people in the church. I mean, we'll either come or in the church, either way it works. And what happened is that they had people, devious people, who were trying to turn the Christians in a different direction. They didn't want him to believe, to support Paul. No, he is not teaching us right. He's giving us wrong information. He is not helping us to obtain salvation. And they went on and on. And so in the meantime, Paul has to go back and forth and really try to refute all of what they are saying. And we know today that we have preachers who are not God's preachers. We know that. And we know that the Bible states that Satan has his own ministers, and I think we all know that. And maybe it's back in the day, and they may still use this term, but maybe you remember when they used to say, a minister, you know, you were not teaching according to God's will. And they were out for whatever they could get. And they call them jackleg preachers. You remember that term, right? Okay. It's probably still out there somewhere. Some ministers, they are, we know, in it for what? For money, clothes, cars, big homes, big accounts. Bank accounts. And this is what This is their mindset, you know. But if you have your heart in God's work, that is not your goal. It is not your goal of how much money you can acquire or anything. You don't worry about the big homes and the big cars. That's not what you are here for. You know, you want to have your whole heart in God's work. You really do. And when that song says, "I surrender all," hopefully we'll think about that. We surrender all. Now, Paul, he worked with the Corinthians, and he realized how important it was for him to really try to change their minds and not be against him and not be against God's work, because that's what it was. It's really God's work, and this is what they were having a problem with. And when you have people, it's like you've heard these terms about a person being groomed, you know, for whatever the person, devious stuff they plan to do. And they groom a person. And you get people, you get a couple of people come aside and you kind of talk to them. And I don't know about that message. He said so-and-so. He did whatever it is. But the point of the whole thing is to get you to be against, really, when he comes down to his God's work. That's his ministry, his ministers. And people do that. And I hope you don't sit here and think, well, nobody would do that, you know. But they do. They do. So we are to serve. We are to dedicate ourselves to God and his work and the work that his ministers are doing, because they do a lot of work. They do a lot. And not only do they do a lot, they still have their own families to take care of. Now, you think about if you had an entire church, and then you have to take care of the church, and you know there are many problems. People coming to you with a lot of problems. And not only that, then you have your family. And you have to take care of your family, because you can't ignore your family. So it's a lot of work to be done. And we should appreciate that. We really should appreciate that. And hopefully that in this church that we really do that, appreciate the ministry that is here. Someone, it was on the news, and someone says, you know, his thoughts, Christians, they're too quiet. Do you believe they're too quiet? Now, this is what he's stating. He is saying that, you know, you got the other people that have beliefs, they have things they march for, things that, whatever. And I do know this to be true, though. Something happens. And we say, that was awful. That was awful that took place. And we feel that it was awful. And we talk to various people, and they feel the same way. It shouldn't have happened. But the thing about it is, and this is why he was asking that question, are Christians too quiet? Because what we basically do, you know, we complain among ourselves and this shouldn't be this way and we should change whatever. But, you know, I mean, what do we do to change these things? And I know we can pray about situations. We can pray about it. But when you pray, you have work to do. I mean, you can't pray and sit down and say, well, God, you do it. I need a job. You sit down, you pray about it, you sit down and wait for him to bring you that job. It won't happen. You have something to do. So in various things that we do, and we, It's so much that we see that should be different. And I realize sometimes there are situations people are fearful of getting involved in. And I have to say they got a good reason not to get involved in it, because you could be the one to get hurt. You know, that's why the police, when they come to your house, when it comes to domestic violence, and they more than likely, unless that man has really, he's there and they can see the abuse, and if they can intervene, they will. But the point of the whole thing is, a lot of times when you intervene, who gets hurt? The person who intervenes. But not working. Okay, I'm trying to read sign language, and I think maybe they're telling me to keep going. You know, I don't know. But the thing that's really important. And really thinking about God's work, and I know we can come up with things that we want to do. A lot of things may come to your mind. I won't do this. But the point of the whole thing is, we as children, as servants of Jesus Christ, that we are to meet him. Now I'm thinking this thing is not working. Is it? It is. Oh, okay. That as servants of Jesus Christ, that we are, what, to join Jesus Christ in the work that he is doing, right? Okay. So our question is, do we have our whole heart in God's work? Do we? We have an obligation as Christians to really have the behavior that becomes a Christian. And what I say is, we have to be good examples wherever we are. Because who watches you? Generally, the people who are not Christians, right? And they say, so-and-so is a Christian. And somebody else said that, you know. So therefore, they look at your behavior. So we want to have good behavior and not allow anything to really besmirch the work of God. And just keep in mind, you know, you don't have to have a minister, anybody worship or anything, but the point, we have to really work. We need to have our heart in God's work. It's God's work. It's not a person's work, but God's work, and that's what we should have keep in mind. Now, in 2 Corinthians 7, 2-4, It says here, make room for us in your hearts. We have wronged no one. This is Paul speaking, still speaking to the Corinthians. We have corrupted no one. I do not say this to condemn you. I have said before that you have such a place in our hearts that we would live or die with you. I have great confidence in you. I take great pride in you. I am greatly encouraged. In all our troubles, my joy knows no bound. So even though he had people in the church who were against him, and Paul had a lot of enemies. He had a lot of enemies and people bringing him down, and sometimes he could go to one city and stay there for so long, and then the Jewish people, they stir folks up against him, and then he has the
almost like flee for his life, so have to leave. So he had a lot of people against him. But the church, this was a church of God. And you don't want to have, well, this church over here, they're against the right things, because he was doing the right things. And you have people who are against that. You don't want that. You want everybody to be on board. You want everybody to support the work of God. That's the important thing. Support the work of God. That is really important. And that's where we really should have our heart. And that should be like, as we say, a life of service and dedication. And we have a lot of people in this congregation who do serve. They really do serve on a regular basis. And I think something was, I can't say clarified, because this thought came to my mind and someone mentioned the same thing. I said, well, this is really coincidental. Well, maybe it's not coincidental, but what this person said, and this is what I had been thinking, you know, because we have had various things in this congregation. You know, we have, let's talk women's ministry, you know. And you want people, more and more people to participate. But that is not the way it is. And the example that I used with them was Gideon. Remember Gideon? And all of those hordes of, you know, Israelites who were going down there to help Gideon. And God said, no, you have too many people. And if with that number of people, what happens, you're going to say you did it. You're not going to give God any credit. You'll say you did it, you know, because there's so many of you. So then he had so many people left. Okay, you can leave if you want to, if you're fearful or whatever, to leave. And this is what a number of people left. But still you had thousands of people who were willing to fight. And God said, no. Have to get rid of these people. And so they got down to the place where they had, what was that, 3,300 people. And those are the ones that God used. So if you have a horde of people coming at you, and let's say you have maybe 3,000 people, 300 people. If you receive victory, you are going to know you didn't do it, that God is the one who did it. And that's what he wanted the people to know, that he did it and not the people. Because it's really true. If he had a horde of people and they had victory and all, what would folks be saying? What we did, boy, we really got it. You know, we did this. But when you don't have that, you know that there's no means, that there is no way that you could be successful without God being the one who does it. And I get looking at the clock. Oh, I don't even know what time I got up here. But Robert time for me to sit down. Okay. I have to give you this one example, and maybe this is, I think about something recently. Well, maybe I shouldn't even say that. One of the things that I believe, the importance of our behavior, the importance of the example that we all set at all times, not just when we come to church, but on a daily basis, And I was thinking about a person, let's say, could be someone you know, or maybe some, you know, may could be a friend, a relative, or just an acquaintance. And this person have been observing your behavior. And they have been listening, you know, boy, this person really have God in their life. this person's always saying all those wonderful things about God's ministry. And you get to the point, you say, they begin to think, well, maybe that is where I would like to be. Maybe that is the church I would like to attend. Maybe it's time that I accept Jesus Christ. So you have this. But you know, if you know, if that's the person looking at you, and this is a decision, maybe they haven't said it to you, but maybe this is a decision that they have made. And what happens? One day, they find out that this Christian is not the Christian I thought they would be, you know. And so what's going to happen? They are going to think, Christians behave that way. I don't want any part of that. And people do. You can turn folks around. You really can. But we are to have our whole heart in God's word. We are to support the ministry and realize it's God's ministry. And we are to join Jesus Christ in the work that he is doing. And he is doing work throughout the world, not just in this country, but throughout the world. I have one last scripture I want to read, and this is Romans 14, verse 7, 8, 11, and 12. For none of us live to himself alone, and none of us dies to himself alone. If we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. And verse 11, as it is written, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me. Every tongue will confess to God. So then each of us will give an account of himself to God. So if you would just keep in mind that we need God in our life, we need the Holy Spirit in our life, and that we are servants of Jesus Christ. We are all servants of Jesus Christ. And he has us here to serve, to do work. And that we have a heavenly Father, and that we are children of God. And he wants us to serve him, to do the work that he has for each of us to do. And we realize that God has a plan for each of us. You realize that, right? Okay, good. And we are to conduct ourselves at all times in a way that will always, that people can praise God, can praise the work that's being done, and not have to be suspicious about what's going on there, because we are good examples, and we love God, and we know that God loves each of us. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Almighty God, for your many, many blessings, for your help, your guidance, and for your direction. And Father, we know that you have a lot of work that's going on this earth. And we know as your servants, as your children, that we have work to do, that we are to be a light, that we are to really have our whole heart in your work, and that we are to really support your ministers, Father, and the work that they are doing on your behalf. So, Father, please be with us, guide us, direct us, strengthen each one of us, and please give us the love for each other, Almighty God, and please give us peace, and please help us to really have to emphasize with one another to help one another, support one another, and be the kind of Christians who are always pleasing to you. Amen.